questions right now, so we'll go ahead and get started.
Your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry.
This is Trucking Business
and Beyond,
the show that puts the money where it belongs,
back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. The website is letstruck.com. The show is all about the business of trucking. We take your calls and we answer your questions about trucks, money, fuel mileage, maintenance, tires, taxes, technology, health and fitness on the road, getting started as an owner-operator, finding freight, working with brokers, you name it, we'll talk about it. All you have to do is pick up the phone and ask the question. We're going to get, I've got a couple things, but I think what we're going to do right now is we're just going to get right to some phone calls and see what it is you want to talk about. Let's start off in Virginia. Jason, welcome to the program.
Fair tax now, Kevin.
Absolutely. What's on your mind today?
Well, I'm looking at one of two different upgrades, and I was hoping you could help me decide which one. I just started a new dedicated run. I'm permitted up to 94,500 pounds one way, empty sometimes on the way back. 650 miles a day, 5 days a week. And I have lots of mountains that I have to go through both ways. And I was looking at a manifold or the flow below. They're both reasonably the same price installed, and I was wondering what you would pick.
What engine and what year?
The 07 C15 Acert. I have a power box, and it's got the 550 horsepower program in there.
Okay. All right, so that I'm glad you told me you had the power box, because that kind of makes the decision. Because with all those pulls, you know, and a lot of weight, I was leaning towards engine performance. And you will get a performance improvement out of the manifold, but you've got really a lot of performance improvement with the power box. So that kind of made the decision. If you didn't have the power box, I was probably going to say the manifold. Since you have the power box, I would say the flow blow, because you're going to get a quicker return on investment.
Okay. All right. That's what I needed to know.
All right. Well, sounds like a great run. Congratulations. Let me know. You can get to flow blow on our website. We are the owner-operator distributor for flow below. So go to letstruck.com/store and call me and let me know. We are seeing just amazing results from the flow below. That's why that was a tough call with the weight in the mountains, but the power box takes care of the performance. The manifold would be a small improvement. Now it's a nice improvement, but it's small. The flow below just about, guarantee to see 3%, actually closer to about 5% is what we've been seeing pretty consistently. Let's go to Mississippi. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing today?
Good. What's on your mind?
Oh, I had talked to you the other day. I have a 2012 Cascadia. You had pulled me up on fuel gauges, and my fuel mileage is garbage, and We had talked, and I discussed that my charge air cooler is probably my issue. I have an update on that. I haven't got anything fixed yet, but as of yesterday evening, it started whistling when I was accelerating. So I spent the night at a TA park, you know, parked at a TA, and I got to looking at it and checking things, and I thought the first turbo boot was bad, because when I pressed on it, the squeal got really, really bad. So I was like, okay, it's, you know, I had to have a hole in the boot somewhere, went inside the shop, got me a new boot, new clamps. It came out, cleaned everything off, and saw the new boot on it, and it still did it. But now it did it at idle, which was, it didn't do before. As I got back out, made sure the clamps are all tight. There's no air blowing anywhere. You know, I tried spraying water to find any kind of air pressurization leaks. But I learned from screwing with it last night that if I press on the end of the turbo housing, it gets warm. If I lift on the turbo housing, it goes away completely. So there's a chance that I still have a hole in the charge air cooler, but I'm thinking it's more turbo manifold related. Any ideas?
Well, I think you're right. And this is good troubleshooting. I mean, this is the way I wish shops would do it more often is, you know, start with the easy, inexpensive stuff and, you know, troubleshoot like you're doing. I think you have identified that it is at the turbo. Now, it's always good to test the charger cooler anyway, but I think to solve the problem, I would stay there at the turbo. Now, it could be a bad turbo, could be a cracked manifold, and when you lift it, you know, you're changing the way the manifold sitting there. Really what you've got to do now, since you've identified the area, is just dig into that until you figure out what it is.
Okay. It's drivable, and I've got a load on me, so I'm headed down to Texas right now to kick this load off, and I already told Mercer that I don't have to wait for my next load so I can take it over to the shop and have them look at it. The repairs are still being paid for by the company I bought the truck from, as long as somebody else is footing the bill, I'm going to take it and make them pay to fix it, because I like that idea better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But again, you did some good troubleshooting that is going to save money and time at the shop, because you can tell them right where the problem is now.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. You know, that's why I really encourage owner-operators to know as much about their own truck as possible. Because, you know, like that, you're parked for a couple hours at night, you spend a couple hours poking around and you saved yourself $250 and maybe a lot of time and aggravation at the shop. You know, mechanics and technicians, they're not going to do that. They're not going to spend a couple hours just poking around the way you can. They're going to start trying, you know, today it seems like they're just going to start throwing parts at it, but it really is important to know as much about your own truck as possible. Get your hands on it. Get dirty. Let's see. Let's go to Indiana. Ken, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mr. Rutherford. How are you doing today?
Doing great. What's on your mind?
Got a couple of questions. One, I'm just getting ready to lease on to either Mercer or Landstar. I thought I was doing the right thing by applying to both of them at one time. And both of them came back within a day, and I've got accepted onto either one. Can you give me your opinion on the two?
Yeah, and I still think it was a good idea. You know, it certainly doesn't hurt. You know you can be accepted at both. So now you get to pick. You know, here's the thing. If we look at revenue, expenses, what you can hope to take home in your pocket, these two companies are really about dead even. Every now and then we'll find somebody at Landstar because they have, you know, the option of going out and really putting a lot of time into finding their own freight that will do better revenue-wise. But across the board averages, they're dead even. And I do accounting for a lot of both Landstar and Mercer, so I've seen the numbers. So on the money side, flip a coin. I mean, it's that close. What it comes down to really is the difference in culture. So Landstar is a very large company, and you are on your own. Now, there's some support there. If you need help, there are people to help with, then ask questions. But for the most part, you're going to run this thing like it's your own. You're going to go to work when you want to go to work. You'll pick your own loads. You'll decide when you want to take time off. But it's a big company, and it's almost like running on your own authority with a little bit of support in the background if you need it. Mercer, on the other hand, is like being part of a family. You know, even as the company has grown, they've maintained that really small company family feel and lots of support. So that's really the two differences. I like both companies a lot. That's why, you know, there's only been a couple of carriers over the last, you know, 10 years we've worked with. and those two have always been there for us. So it really comes down to the culture and what you're looking for. You're looking to just kind of do your own thing and run on your own in a big company, or do you want to be a part of a family and have, you know, that more small company feel?
Right. Well, you just made my mind up, because I that's the reason, even when I went to a company driver, I started off with a large box company and hated it. Within the first 6 months, I left and went to a small company, because I know everybody at my company that I work for now. I know everybody from the owner all the way down to most all the drivers.
And, you know, you can do that still at Mercer.
Right.
You can do that at Mercer. You can know everybody, right? You know, when we do our CMC, I swear, I don't know how they run their company that week, because half their management team is with us. But they do a great job. So I think that's good that you know that, and I think that's going to be a great fit for you. I know you had another question, so I'm going to get to a break, and I'll come back, and we will tackle that one right after this. Stick around. Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. We're going to get right back to the phones. I was talking with, where was I? Ken in Indiana. Ken, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Okay. The second question I had, well, I'm going to be coming to CMC, and I'm going to get on the fuel maker over also.
Okay.
But I'm getting ready, since I'm getting ready to start all this, because I'm going to use the profit gauges, fuel gauges, and I want to get a T&D tablet. I've already got my laptop. Do I need to get the tablet before I sign up for that, or is it done through a where I can transfer it all over to the tablet afterwards? Or
it's actually, we make it even easier than that. So you can start your Fuel Gauges account right now. Just go on, create the account. You'll get a login, and then you can log in from any device, and you end up in the same account. So whether you log in from your laptop, your phone, or your T&D tablet, you're still in the same account as long as you use that login. You don't have to transfer. You can use all three together. You can put in a fuel receipt on your phone one day, on your tablet the next day, and then go look at the results on your laptop the day after if you want.
Oh, okay. That makes it great and easy. And then scan gauges, should I have them right from the start, or can I wait a couple of weeks? For that.
Well, I mean, you can always wait a couple weeks, you know, budget and all those things. But, you know, the scan gauge is one of those tools that starts paying back day one. You know, the minute
right.
you start driving with it, you start learning. So, yeah, the sooner the better. But if you have to wait a couple weeks, no big deal.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you very much for your information. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. You're going to love it over there at Mercer, and can't wait to see you at the CMC. Like I say, Mercer, both Mercer and Landstar always have a ton of people at the CMC, and this year is no exception. And like I say, Mercer brings half their management team, which is always wonderful, because I'd love to spend the time with those guys. And it just shows a lot of support for their contractors as well. They're learning the same thing the contractors are about, how to run a successful business. And that helps them understand your issues, and you know they have things in place that help with all of that. So let's get to some phone calls again. Let's go to Ohio. Joe, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin, how's it going?
Good. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, yeah, I remember you had made a comment on the air that you had always wondered what it would be like to go off the no sugar and no grain just to see how it was because you were afraid to do it. Well, I have been doing the no sugar, no grain for about a year and a half, and I decided I was going to take that challenge and see what would happen.
Wow, what happened?
Well, I knew I was going to have 2 days off waiting on a load, so I decided I was going to eat 2 slices of truck stop pizza and a 12-ounce can of regular soda.
Oh, boy. What
so
were
the first
results?
Thing that happened, yeah, the first thing that I noticed within about 30 minutes of finishing eating and drinking the soda is that my heartbeat started going like crazy. Like the old days when we used to pop Ephedrine when you could just buy it just about anywhere. And that's about what
right.
It felt like, just my heart was just started hammering. About 2 hours afterwards, I started having severe stomach cramps, started getting a pretty bad headache, and I noticed that I was breathing a little heavier.
Wow.
Those went away after about 5.5-6 hours. Most of those symptoms went away. But the abdominal cramping, I'm still feeling a little bit left over today. That was Saturday when I ate that.
Isn't that crazy? You know, and I've read this from, you know, in all the research I've done, people who have gone on and off, and they you know, talk about all the same things you just talked about. That's why I don't want to do it, because it doesn't sound good. But what it tells us is, you know, if that were a food that you had never eaten before, and for whatever reason you decided to eat it and you got that response, you would never eat that stuff again. You would know that this is not good for my body. I shouldn't eat this. But the thing for most of us is we have literally eaten that way our entire life. So our body gets used to it somewhat, but we still, you know, the average person suffers all those things. That's why we have so many over-the-counter remedies and people take things for headaches and, you know, indigestion and stomach problems and because of the food we're eating, but we just think it's normal.
Yeah, I mean, I liken it, you know, for people that don't want to try it, I liken it to the old adage, you know, people always say that, go ahead, you know, they're not going to change the way they eat because that's the way they've always eaten. I say, yeah, well, think of cigarettes. I mean, if cigarettes had never been thought of and someone jumped you and said, all right, sure, try this. You're like, so wait, what you want me to do is take this piece of paper with a bunch of dried out leaves in it, stick it in my mouth, set fire to it, and inhale all the smoke? Are you out of your mind?
Exactly. Yeah. And then when you saw the results from the nicotine, it would be kind of the same thing. Your heart starts hammering, you start sweating, but then, you know, your body says, hey, wait a minute, there were some good feelings in there too, and pretty soon you become addicted, and the same thing happens with sugars and some of the proteins in grains. Your body reacts to them like opioids. There is some pleasure there mixed in with all the other stuff. And like I said, we're just so used to eating it, we think it's normal. And until you experience what it's like to feel right, to feel good all the time, not to have the aches and pains and the headaches and the energy levels shooting up and down and the surge and the crash. And once you experience that, it's hard to go back. So I'm glad you did it. Now I don't have to.
Yeah, for those of us that don't want to give up pizza, go back to the way I've been doing it for the last year and a half. Order 3 slices and take the toppings off and throw the bread away.
You know, I do that sometimes when I'm out, you know, and you know, out with friends or out on the road or whatever, and people order pizza. It's a common thing. And I get a salad usually and throw as much fat on the salad as I can, but I'll do the same thing. I'll pull the toppings off the pizza and eat that. And you know, when you're home or if you have the ability to cook in the truck, the cauliflower crust pizza, as crazy as that sounds, is really, really good. And it's amazingly simple. You know, you take a head of cauliflower and a cheese grater, and you grate the cauliflower. It comes out looking like rice. You boil it for like 3 minutes, strain it into a dish towel and just squeeze all the water out of it you can. Crack in an egg and, like, you know, a good handful of any kind of cheese. And you can press that out just like a pizza dough and bake it. And it's really good. So there are some other ways, too. There's also there's a company called Simple Mills. And I get it at Thrive Market online, but I've also found them in some Whole Foods and some grocery stores. And they make a line of baking mixes that are totally grain-free and somewhat low in carbs. Now, you can't overdo this stuff. I'll eat a piece or two of it, but it's almond flour and arrowroot, and, you know, they're paleo-friendly and pretty low carb. And they make like a chocolate muffin mix. They make a focaccia bread mix. If you press that one out real thin, it makes an excellent pizza crust. They make a pizza crust. They make pancake mix. Yeah, and it's really good. So, I'll do those maybe once or twice a week. I'll make something on one of those.
I actually have a tip for some of the drivers. Before I started my thing, I started dieting after... I'll just give you a quick, brief history. I got hurt at my previous job before I started driving truck, fell off the machine, ended up having to have back surgery. I jokingly tell people it's an old hockey injury because I had to have my disc at my L2 replaced with a rubber spacer, and it looked kind of like a hockey puck, so that's my little inside joke. And
Yeah. Before
I started my diet, I got up to, I told you once before on a show, I was up to 369 pounds when I finally decided enough was enough. And I got down, like I told you, my last weigh-in was 249 pounds. And
Wow. One
of the things that my doctor suggested, because I'd always heard, you know, good things and bad things, is those EMS belts, the electronic muscle stimulator belts, because flat out told me, do not do sit-ups or anything that's going to affect your back. He said, you know, just as a disclaimer to everyone, I don't care what the website's saying, you're not going to lose weight with this thing. It'll help you strengthen your core. I mean, my muscles hurt after using it. And I've been using it ever since I started the diet.
Yeah, for, you know, localized, specialized things like that, they do work. So, congratulations, amazing stuff, and thanks for doing the test, because I really didn't want to. And who knows, I may still do it. I don't know. We'll see. We'll be right back. Stick around. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. I'm going to get right to some phone calls. We're off to Indiana. Paul, welcome to the program.
Howdy. I have some advice for all the guys that are thinking about buying a new truck with an ISX or any other EGR DPF engine. Don't.
Okay, what's that? Don't. Yeah, I'd like
don't.
To make
yeah.
it simple. You're a man of few words, Paul.
Well, see, I'm still going through the antifreeze. Well, I called the Cummins guy yesterday, And I thought, well, I'll schedule an appointment because I know they're always busy because their ISXs always need to go to the shop. So I told him, I'm going to be home at the end of next week. I said, I'll bring it in Friday. And he says, well, I can't get to you till September the 8th was the first available appointment.
You are kidding me. September 8th. You know, I've dealt with that on the RV side forever. That's just the way it is in the summertime. They are slammed. I usually try to call a month in advance if I know I'm going to need something. And when you need service, it's tough to find. In an RV, I can live with that. It's not how I make my money. But to have to wait that long on a commercial vehicle, that's insane.
Yeah, well, imagine if it was like I'm going for antifreeze, so I just buy it 4 jugs at a time and that lasts a week and carry on. But if it was something where I'm screwed now, I just got to sit here and wait. Hell, you're still going to have to make your truck payment. Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Crazy.
What if you're out on the road? You're out on the road. You can't go home. You can't. I mean, you're just screwed. And
it's
becoming more and more common. That's crazy.
Yeah. So, but I did find a truck that I'm going to look at. It's a 03 Pete with a single turbo Caterpillar engine, and it's not a bridge motor. So I'm going to look at that. It's only got 1.4 million miles on it, so we should be good.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I am now the owner of a C13 Cat, the first Cat I have owned in probably since the early 90s. So 20 some years I haven't had a Cat, but I've got a C13. Now it's an Acert for now. Can get when I can
the get easy conversion.
that's right. yeah, we're going to make it run right.
Yeah, so I'm gonna get to Mississippi and have a look at this truck. So hopefully it's worth getting. So
don't forget to run the rig dig and pull the ECM, all that good stuff we always talk about. And call me. I'd love to hear about it. Let's head off to Ohio. Matt, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you doing, Kevin?
Good. What's on your mind today?
Oh, a couple things. Just to add on to something that Paul's saying there, I've got an International, and I've been hearing the same thing up to 2 months out to get the truck in. And, you know, this thing's under warranty, and I've just found it easier just to pay for the stuff out of pocket and sit around and wait on them to get things fixed. So I'm kind of praying I don't have a motor or anything let loose where I absolutely have to get in somewhere.
Yeah, that is
Ohio
just crazy.
Yeah, it's insane.
And you know that is insane, and that brings it like not like we need another reason not to own one of these engines, but that would be a really big one. If service starts getting that difficult to get, and your option comes down to, you know, wait a couple weeks for warranty work or spend several thousand dollars, you know, paying your own shop. Both of those options suck.
Absolutely. And you can't get them to reimburse you for anything that you do, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that is just crazy.
But, yeah, aside from that, I wanted to go over my recent oil samples and have you take a look at my business report, if you wouldn't mind.
All right. Yeah, so let's see. Let's get to the oil sample. Is your name on the oil sample?
It should be, yeah.
Okay, because I'm not sure that I've got your oil sample here. So let's go over I've got your profit gauges report, but I'm not seeing your oil sample. So let's go over this, and then I'll try to figure out where the sample went. All right, so looks like you are leased to a carrier, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, so revenue looks really good. $1.65 a mile, all miles. That's a great place to start. And right now, that's a really good rate. Your fixed costs, they're a little high. Where's all this coming from? Insurance, truck. Oh, you've got a truck and trailer lease. Okay, so yeah. That's not bad then. Truck and trailer. And fuel cost is high. What's going on with fuel mileage?
It's a 2011 ISX and does not do very well.
Okay. That kind of explains things. Yeah. So, here's another issue. I mean, with fuel prices, the way they've been this year, some of our best, fuel mileage trucks have a fuel cost in the high 20 cent a mile range. Like I've done some reviews of pre-emission trucks recently that were 27, 28 cents a mile on fuel cost. You're at 46. So, there's a lot of room for improvement there. The problem is we're always fighting against these engines.
Yeah.
We can do the aerodynamics, we can do the tires, we can do the engine upgrades, the FAS and the fleet air filter, and they all help. But when the emissions go south on these things, it can be really difficult to get that fuel mileage back up. Your maintenance cost, again, it's high, but this is about normal for these engines. You're at 18 cents a mile. Pre-emission engines, we actually maintain, or pre-emission trucks, we actually maintain for about 9 or less. So you're almost double that cost. The good news is the revenue helps, certainly. So even after all of that, you're taking home 63 cents a mile, which is still really good. I mean, you can't go drive anybody else's truck and make that. So, well, very few exceptions. But so, we always focus on fuel and maintenance and do what we can, but you've got a handicap with that engine.
Yeah, and I've actually brought my fuel cost down from 54 over the last 8 months
or
so.
Good.
So.
Well, and that's a beautiful
some
sign.
Improvements.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of having the numbers. I mean, if somebody calls me and they don't have a report like this, there is no way they could tell me that, they've brought their fuel cost down by 6 cents a mile and know it accurately. You do.
Right.
And it's moving in the right direction, so that's always a good thing. I still don't see an oil sample.
It might be under, I don't know, it would be under the truck number or something like that.
Okay, let's see. Yeah, I've got an oil sample here, but I don't think it's yours.
2011 International, or 2011 ISX.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it. I've got an oil sample here, but it's not yours. I'm going to take another call, and then I'll try to see if I can find that at the break. Let's go to Tennessee. Karen, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. How are you today?
Doing good. What can I help you with today?
Well, this whole diet idea, okay? I have totally gone sugar-free and grain-free, and now I'm really embarrassed to say this on the air, but now I'm constipated.
That's not
unusual. I don't
unusual.
Want to start taking a laxative.
No, don't. It's not unusual. There are several things you can do. Are you doing the bulletproof coffee?
No.
Okay. Let me get to a break. There are some things you can do. This is very common. And there are some things that will fix this pretty quickly. So, I'll get to a break, and we will come back, and we'll get to that. Stick around. The website is letstruck.com. I'm Kevin Rothenberg.
Bye.
right, a quick heads up here. We are heading into the fourth segment, the final segment on the first hour. So at the end, I'm going to say good night, goodbye, all those things I say at the end of the show, but don't hang up because we're going to come back and do another one. Here we go. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. We're down to the final segment. I'm going to get right back to the phone calls. I was talking with Karen in Tennessee. All right, Karen, if you do you drink any liquids that you like to sweeten, coffee or tea or anything like that?
I drink water with a little bit of lemon in it.
This may or may not work.
Raw honey.
Okay, this may work. You may want to try this. There is a sweetener called Yacon syrup, Y-A-C-O-N. And it kind of tastes like molasses, like a really light molasses. So it's not overly sweet. It does have that little bit of molasses, kind of brown sugar taste. I put it in coffee or, you know, I usually don't sweeten my coffee, but if I make cocoa, like Bulletproof cocoa, I'll put a tablespoon of that sweetener in there. And it has, there's a long ogolo something saccharides. And what it means is it's a sugar that our body can't digest, but our good gut bacteria can. And it helps actually feed the good bacteria. So one thing you want to get are a lot of probiotics, and if you're, you know, if you're not eating them enough, like, you know, kimchi, fermented vegetables, yogurt, kefir, kombucha, all of those things are good probiotics that you can eat. But if you're not getting enough in the diet, or even if you are, sometimes in the beginning it helps to kind of front load with a good probiotic capsule. You want to get one that has a lot of different cultures in it. Some of them have up to 10 different cultures and, you know, 30 billion units. So you want to get a really good quality, high potency probiotic. And then this Yacon syrup is what's considered a prebiotic because it helps feed the good probiotics. The other thing you can do that's much easier, I mean, that, you know, means going out of your way. You can usually find it at a Whole Foods or a health food store online. But the other thing that you're missing is sodium and magnesium. So you probably need to take a magnesium supplement. That is one of the things that it's hard to get enough in your body. And without it, these are all the symptoms that you're going to see. So get a good magnesium supplement. Salt your food heavier. And you may even want to drink like a cup of really salty broth a day, like bone broth. Can even add a little sea salt to it. If you get enough magnesium and salt in your body, this will go away.
Okay. Okay. All right. If not, husband's going to send me to live with you.
Yeah, well, this will work. Trust me. It's and there are reasons when you go off the grains, especially your body will eliminate a lot of water, and with it goes a lot of the electrolytes that you need, potassium somewhat. So you might want to make sure you're eating enough potassium-rich foods or supplement with potassium, magnesium, and salt. And once you get those back in balance, you'll be fine. The probiotics and the Yacon syrup and the prebiotics, that always helps. Helps a lot of things. All right, I am going to go back to Matt because I found his oil sample. So let's take a look at this, Matt. Looks like we've got about 20,000 on this sample. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And everything looks really clean. The speaking of magnesium, you have magnesium flagged in your oil sample, but you can ignore that. That's just an additive. The moly you can ignore. And the iron at 57 is a little high, but not unusual for an ISX. You know, this is just one of those things. How much oil is this using?
My oil consumption actually came up somewhat. I've been idling over the summer, right around 3 gallons every 20,000, 3.5, something like that.
Okay, so about about a gallon every 7,000 miles, which isn't horrible.
Roughly.
It's not great, you know, for an engine with less than 600,000 miles on it, but it's not all that uncommon. So I'm not seeing anything in the sample to be too concerned about. If you haven't done an overhead in a while, or if you don't know when it was done, you know, if this were any other engine, I wouldn't say this, but on the ISX, I'd like to get into that in a while, especially when we see high wear metals, and just check on the cam and see what's going on in there. But nothing that you have to hurry on, and there's nothing in here that really looks like it's a problem. Let's go to Texas. Robert, welcome to the program.
Hello, Kevin.
Good afternoon.
You
What's on your mind today?
I was listening to your show Sunday, and somebody had talked about taking their truck somewhere and putting a new cab on it, and you were talking about having to get up there and talk to the guy. I need the name of that place. I have a 1995 white GMC that I've pretty much done everything to rebuilt-wise. I'd like to recap it.
Now, I'm not sure if they will be able to do that for you or not, because this is a Freightliner dealer.
Okay.
I would call them. It can't hurt. I know they can get all the Freightliner cabs. Maybe they could get a Volvo cab and do it. So I would certainly call them. It's Harrison Truck Centers in Iowa. I think they have four locations, maybe. I know three for sure, maybe four. So it's Harrison Truck Centers. They also build a lot of gliders, but we've been talking to them over the last 6 months about this cab idea, because they've done several of them. And either later, we'll be in Iowa here soon. So we're going to see if we can find some time to stop in on this trip.
Okay. Do you know what kind of cost range that usually costs?
You know, I really don't. That's something we haven't discussed yet. I want to sit down with them and go over all the details on it. So I really don't have any pricing at all right now.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate your time, and I wanted to say hi to David out there listening to you, and you have a good day, sir.
Well, there you go. You just did, and thanks for the call. Let's go to Georgia. Michael, welcome to the program.
Hello, Kevin. I've got a question for you on some tax issue. Started last year with a small carrier, and I leased on with her. She only has about 15 trucks. My question is, I started in about November. When I got my 1099 at the end of the year, I noticed that the numbers didn't match with what I get every week on my settlement. So what I was able to figure out is, you know, she charges 10% of whatever I book on whichever load I go with the broker. I pay the weekly cargo insurance as well as trailer rental, but she's not putting that on my 1099. So
she's not putting the 10% or the trailer rental. She's acting like she just didn't pay you that money and then charge you those fees, right?
Correct. Well, she's taking out the 10%, but on my settlement, it actually has the total amount that I arranged with the broker. It has her 10% coming out, and it also has the trailer rental and the cargo insurance coming out. But she's not putting trailer rental and the cargo on the 1099.
Got it. Okay. But so there's two issues here, and I want to make sure I explain this right, because this can get confusing. So let's stick with the 10% for right now. The way she's doing the 1099, is actually correct, because you're never getting that money. You're never getting that full rate. She's saying, she's acting like a broker in a sense, and that's okay. She's saying, look, I got paid $1,000, but you're only going to get $900. Now, I'll show you on your settlement what the total amount was so you can see it, and then you can see your cut. But on the 1099, all she should show is your cut. So that one's correct, and we can leave that one alone. The other two are expenses. So they shouldn't be on a 1099 because she's deducting those. That's something you would account for in your paperwork. So it sounds to me like she's doing this right, and you can report it just the way that it's coming through. Wish I had a little more time on that, but you could also call Brittany, and we'll go through and make sure that you're doing that correctly. I've got to get out of here. I'm all out of time. We will see you back here next time. Be safe. Be profitable. Be fit and healthy. And master the journey. Good night, everyone. I'm Kevin Ross. All right, everybody, we're going to do another hour. Here we go.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry.
This is Trucking Business
and Beyond,
the show that puts the money where it belongs,
back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. The show is all about the business of trucking. We take your calls and we answer your questions about trucks, money, fuel mileage, maintenance, tires, taxes, technology, health and fitness on the road, getting started as an owner-operator, finding freight, working with brokers, getting your own authority. The list goes on and on. If you've got a question, ask me. I'll do my best to get you an answer. We might get some help from some of the other listeners, and if you stump us all, I'll make it my challenge, my personal mission, to go find that answer. And speaking of questions and answers, that's what we do here, and tonight, going to jump right into it. We're going to start off in New York. Brad, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. Thank you for taking my call. My first question I've got for you is on the keto diet. I have an app on my phone that says that diet soda is okay. Is that true?
Well, there's two things going on with the keto diet. It is true in the fact that you can drink soda and not knock yourself out of ketosis. So as far as that goes, yes, that is correct. There are two issues, though. Well, there's two issues. As far as being ketogenic, yes. One of the issues is that having that sweet taste will make it much harder to get over any other sweet cravings you have. If your body gets that sweet taste from the soda, you will experience more cravings for sweet foods and carbohydrates. Whereas if you quit that, those cravings will go away completely. That's one issue. The other issue is the sweeteners they use are just poison. I mean, they've shown all kinds of really negative side effects to the artificial sweeteners.
Yeah, my coffee in the morning is the toughest one I'm having to get used to.
In coffee, we can eliminate at least one of those problems. If you're using Equal or Splenda or those kind of things, which are the artificial sweeteners, you can switch to a stevia. And there's several different forms. Okay. No luck?
That was awful. It reminded me of the
You may want to... Yeah, I agree. It's there are different forms of it, you know, but it can be fairly expensive. You may want to try a couple of the different forms. But again, even stevia, even though it doesn't have the, you know, nasty side effects of the artificial sweeteners, it's still a sweet taste. And it will still, the longer, you know, you do it, the more you will notice that you continue to crave those sweets. The other sweetener that I just mentioned earlier was Yakon syrup.
Yeah,
you may want to try that.
That
was actually good for you. It's got a very, very low glycemic index. It doesn't have any weird artificial sweetener tastes, but it doesn't taste exactly like sugar. It tastes more like a light molasses. And it's not nearly as sweet. Like I don't sweeten my coffee at all, but once in a while, because this stuff is actually good for you, I'll put in like a teaspoon of cocoa to my coffee, which makes it really bitter. And then I'll put a tablespoon of this Yakon syrup. And it doesn't really get sweet. It just gets a little more body and a little bit of sweetness. So you may want to try that.
Okay, I will do that. And what is the coffee bomb? Did I hear you?
The bulletproof coffee.
Bulletproof coffee.
Yeah, so the bulletproof coffee came from a guy that wrote a book called The Bulletproof Executive, and he did all kinds of weird body experiments. And, I mean, he did this for years, real high-tech stuff. And he came up with this idea of bulletproof coffee. So when you're on a ketogenic diet, low grain, low sugar, and you want your body to burn fat, you want to make sure you give your body plenty of good fats. And so you start the morning with this coffee, which is coffee with 2 tablespoons of grass-fed butter, a tablespoon of either coconut oil or MCT oil. You can find that online or in health food stores. It stands for medium chain triglycerides. And then if you want a little bit of sweetener, like the Yakon syrup, you can put that in, or a little stevia, and you blend it. Coffee is absolutely amazing. Once you start drinking coffee this way, you don't ever want to drink it without it again. I mean, the taste is so good. It's rich and frothy, and I do mine. We're back on the road again, so... I've got a Nutribullet that I travel with, and it's got the little travel cup and everything. So I just blend my coffee right in that. It's amazing. I drink a cup of that in the morning when I get up, and I usually get up around 5, and then I'll drink another cup at about 10, 9:30 or 10. And then I might not eat my first meal till like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The fat in the coffee is very satisfying. So when I'm on the road, I love it because I get up in the morning, make my coffee, and I'm gone. And I don't have to eat. Then, you know, I'll make another cup, you know, later on in the morning when I take a break. And I don't have to actually stop and eat till early afternoon.
Okay, great. Just real quick about my truck, if I can, if you have time, am I all right for another
sure.
question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I've got a 2011 Volvo with a 7H with a G13 and an I-shift. I've never hauled more than, I'm always under 50,000 pounds. And I'm getting for actual mileage, I run at 55 real steady, and I'm getting actual mileage between 8 and 8.5, which I'm not complaining about, but I'm also looking, of course, to improve that. I've got 325 gears in the rear. Would it help? How much help would I get if I dropped somewhere around 264s or something like that?
You know, the improvement is right around 3 or 4%. which, you know, is significant, but it's also an expensive upgrade. It's $4,000 to get 4%, and there's so many other things we could do first. So I would put it on the list, but when we look at the cost and the return, it's one of the last things I usually recommend. You know, you could do the flow below for, you know, less than half that cost and get a bigger return.
Well, I haul, it's a flatbed. I haul campers and cars on a flatbed.
I'll explain what it is, and you can go on our website, and we've got good explanations of it on there, and it's the aerodynamic device that goes between the tandems on your tractor. So it's got the wheel covers, it's got the aerodynamic, it kind of looks like a dog bone that goes right between the two tandems, and then it's got the little fairing that goes behind your rear tandem near your mud flaps. It's about $1,600, really easy to install, and we are seeing amazing results. And you mentioned flatbed. We just got the testing results back with flatbed and tanker, and we are showing the same improvements we see when somebody pulls a van.
Wow. Okay. And, well, I was given thought to, switching to super singles first, but also singling out the rear axle, because I never carry that. I never need, as far as weight carrying capacity, I don't need it. So I thought about that also.
Yeah, and certainly the wide singles, rolling resistance is a big thing. You can't ever go wrong with that, because you have to have tires anyway. And the little bit more you spend to get a really good tire is well worth it. So that's always something that goes on the list at any time. You know, anytime you want to improve tires, it's a good time to do it. So between the tires and the flow below, you really could be bumping up against $9,000.
Okay. Yeah, that's why I'm shooting them. I'm trying to get up to the magic double digit number there, but I don't know that I ever will, but I like to have that goal anyway.
Yeah, that, and you've got a great start, so just keep doing what you're doing, and give me a call once in a while. We'll go through the numbers. I've got to get to a break. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. If you need any help from us, you can always give us a call off the air. I'll give you that number. It's 855-800-FUEL, 855-800-3835. I'm going to get back to some phone calls. We're going to head off to Minnesota. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hey, question about the FAS and the OPS as far as filter replacement. What's the process when you do replace them? Do you fill the filters back up with fuel or oil, or or what do you recommend there?
No, you don't have to fill up either one. The beauty of the FAS is because it has its own lift pump. The FAS will fill and prime the system itself. In fact, even if you were to run a truck out of fuel and just empty the whole system, if you have the FAS wired so that when you turn the key to the on position, the pump will come on and it'll prime the whole system and the truck will fire right up. The OPS is will refill its own filter as well. So really all you have to do is spin them off and spin them on.
Okay, that sounds great. That was a question I had today.
All right, that was an easy one. Thanks for the call. Let's head off to Colorado. Vern, welcome to the program. Ooh, let me try that again. Got to hit the right buttons. Vern, welcome to the program.
Afternoon, Kevin. Well, over
good
the weekend,
afternoon.
Over the weekend, the truck and I both got our fluids checked. And,
all right.
I was at my A1C was 7.4 back in June before I got on the keto diet, and it popped in at 6.2 this time. Which is
wow, that is a huge improvement.
Now, I've been dropping ketogenic diet all over the place to the endocrinologist, to my doctor, and nobody's batted an eyelash over it.
Well, you have good doctors then.
Yeah. But won't be able to check the rest of my blood indications until a few months down the road here because of the insurance. But we'll check it again around Thanksgiving and see what all the rest of it's doing. And I
yeah,
have
that is
for you.
Okay. We'll get to that. The the A1C is such an important number. Because what we're finding is that it is a problem we talk about, whether it's obesity, high blood pressure, heart disease, it all comes down to the blood sugar spikes. And the, you know, testing your blood sugar multiple times a day is good, but the A1C kind of gives us an overall reading for that three-month period. And to see that come down that much is really a great sign. So congratulations.
Yeah, it's just over really 60 days. So
wow. Well, and the amazing thing there is A1C, we're actually measuring a 90-day period. So you still have, 30 days left over. So I have a feeling after 90, you're going to see that A1C may even be down in the fives, which would be fantastic. So let's take a look at the oil sample. Your numbers are looking good, and so is your truck. You've got 80,000 miles on the oil, is that correct?
Yeah, I put the OPS on at CMC, so there's been about 40,000 since the OPS has been on.
Wow, the oil looks amazing. We have no fuel dilution, no soot to speak of. Viscosity, base, everything looks good. You know, they flagged your iron at a level 1 at 33. Well, at 80,000 miles, I would expect it to be around 70 or 80. So at 33, you're half of what I would expect to see. So this is a great-looking sample.
There we go. Also got my DOT physical done this week, and I'm still a little chubby. So my BMI is still up over the evil limit. I went in there and the doctor is a brand new doctor, and she was just all over that and thinking that I should go and have a sleep apnea test. And I don't snore, I don't fall asleep. The one thing she should have been concerned with is one of my blood sugar medications will drive my blood sugar very low, and she didn't say a word about it.
Oh, unbelievable. The BMI, it's not even a very good number. You know, there are times when I show up overweight on the BMI just because I'm vertically challenged and I'd like to work out. So, I will show up as high on the BMI unless I get my body fat under like
13%. Then I finally show up normal. So it's not even that great of a number. And this whole idea of just because your BMI is a little high, we want to go test you for sleep apnea just drives me crazy. If you're sleeping good, then, you know, just keep doing what you're doing.
Yep, yep. So I managed to talk her out of that. So
good.
I think I'm going to drop my carbs off and lose some more weight for next time so we don't even go there.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Great stuff. Hey, congratulations. Sounds like everything's been going excellent since the CMC. Love to hear it. And we'll talk to you again soon. Let's see. Let's head off to Arizona. Scott, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. Got a question today about the Grand McNally tablet. And I was just wondering, this morning I started off rather early in California, and at 2 hours before sunrise, the thing automatically switched over to daylight mode about night vision way. But is there an issue there that you're aware of that it switches on automatic mode from day to night, 2 hours before, or from night to day, 2 hours before sunrise?
Not that I'm aware of. They did. Have you done all your updates?
Well, no, I have not done any updates, so maybe that's what I need to do.
Oh, absolutely. There was a brightness setting. One of the things I complained about when I first got it was it's just way too bright for me at night. And, you know, no matter what I did with the settings, and there was an update that they did because they got some complaints about that. But, yeah, if you've never done any updates, you've got a lot. The beauty of this tablet is they are constantly updating the software and things get better and better all the time. So, yeah, you know, plug it in and do your updates and then see if that takes care of the problem. I bet it will.
Okay. Well, I was wondering if it had something to do with my yard. It was going by sunrise at my yard time and not where the time zone I was in. But I'll do up it and see how that works out.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep. All right.
Okay, partner. Thank you.
Thanks. You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Let's see. I'm looking at the clock. You know what? I think I'm going to take us into the break, and then when we get back, we'll get to more of your calls and questions. CMC registration is open. We are talking about CMC 2016. We have our dates, we have our location, and we have about half of the spots sold out already. So you want to get registered. We are going to be in Council Bluffs, Iowa. We are taking over the entire Mid-America Center. It's got an arena. It's got a convention floor. It's got tons and tons of parking, lots of meeting space, and we are taking this event to the next level. We really want you to join us there. We have something for everybody this year. It doesn't matter if you are day one in the industry or you've been doing this for 40 years and you're ready to build a fleet. We've got information available. So plan on joining us. It's going to be May 16th through the 20th. We still have some early sign-up pricing right now. We're trying to get as many people signed up as early as possible. Because we may be able to add some space, possibly. We want to make sure that for the 500 people who are going to come, everything is top-notch. We get those sign-ups early enough, we can add some resources, we might be able to expand the event a little bit. But you want to get signed up, get that early sign-up price, which is just $1,400. We have a very, very simple payment plan. This year, it's just a straight 12% interest, no prepayment penalties. You can pay it off as early as you want if you choose to. Make the commitment. Come and join us in Council Bluffs, Iowa in May of 2016. You can go to the website and sign up yourself at letstruck.com. Look under the events tab, or you can call us and we'll help you out and answer all your questions. 855-800 Fuel, 855-800-3835. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rothbard. We're going to get right back to the phone calls. I'm going to head off to Minnesota this time. Mick, welcome to the program. Mick, are you with me? No, sounds like somebody's there. Mick, come back to your phone. Now, you know what? I'm going to put you back on hold. I'll see if I can come back to that call. We're going to head off to Florida. Russell, welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I can. What's on your mind today?
Okay, I got a couple questions, if I could squeeze them in. A recap on the per diem. How long of the day do you have to be gone to qualify for the per diem?
Okay, so this is a very confusing issue for people. In order for the per diem to start, you have to be away from home long enough to be required to sleep away from home. So basically what we're talking about is getting through your first, 14-hour period where you've got to stop and sleep. That starts the per diem clock. What confuses people is there are people who might work local, and they may work 15 or 16 hours a day, or they may work overnight, but if you leave the house, work, and then come home and sleep, it doesn't matter how long you were, if you didn't sleep away from home, you don't qualify for per diem.
Okay. Within boundaries, I'm actually Tennessee licensed, and I spend a lot of time in Florida. Or say if you're stuck in a parking lot for 2 or 3 days, of course you're away from home. Within my boundaries, I guess what I'm trying to say is, do I qualify for the per diem being in Florida?
Absolutely.
Away from home. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, we always have to do establishing a tax home. So even if you live in Tennessee, but let's say you went down to a job site in Florida and then you ran local around that job site and you were back to that place every night, you're still away from home. And it doesn't matter if you only worked 2 hours a day. When you're away from home and you qualify for the per diem. Now, at some point, if you were to do that for a very long period of time, like over a year, then the IRS might start questioning if Florida was really your tax home or not. But if you have a home in Tennessee and you go back there pretty regular, but you're out on the road and you spend a lot of time in Florida, you get per diem for every one of those days you're gone. In fact, you get the per diem even on days you don't work at all. I mean, if you are doing a restart or taking time off, yeah. If you're away from home and there's no work or you don't want to work, but you're still away from home, you still get the per diem.
Okay. It's best to show a little, even maintenance on the truck. I'm in the parking lot working on my truck or wherever
required. Yeah, not okay. Necessary. No, even the extreme, if you leave the house and you work for a day or two and you're away from home and then you decide, you're not going to work for a week, but you're still out there in the truck, you still get per diem all those nights.
Wow. Okay. All righty. And if I could squeeze, say if I'm working in Florida on my truck, personal miles, that would exclude me from those days. Say if somebody ran me up, it wasn't in the truck to get the parts. How would that work? That's kind of. My personal vehicle.
Yeah, it's got to be your personal vehicle. You can't get miles on somebody else's vehicle. So anytime you use your own personal vehicle, you could track the mileage. But in a case like this where you're away from home and somebody else runs you to get parts, you can certainly take the deduction for the parts, but not for the miles. Let's go to Iowa. David, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. Thank you.
Uh-oh.
First generation.
David, you're breaking up really bad. You know, I'm going to put you on hold and see if we can get that taken care of. And I'm going to try Mick again in Minnesota. Mick, are you with me? Boy, it sounds like somebody's there. Mick? Nope. Nope, doesn't look like... I'm not sure what's going on with that phone line there. Let's go to Alabama. Victor, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you, Kevin?
Doing great. What's on your mind today?
I've got a 2014 Cascadia, and I've been getting a really weird problem lately where it seems like I've got some kind of restriction or I'm pulling against some kind of force in my truck. And what invariably happens is I'll have some code on my scan gauge, but it's way off the charts of anything I can find. Like, I've got numbers like B2724 or minus C257. And I'm wondering, where do I find out what does this correlate to? Because what I saw on the website only goes up to about 1450.
There are a couple places you can dig around for codes. One of them, it's the same website I recommend for rolling resistance. Sometimes it's one of our listeners, and he's done a great job on his website with rolling resistance numbers. He's also added some codes you can look up. And the easiest way to get to that website is AMBT.org. It's also AmericaMovesByTruck.com. And he, over on the left, you'll see engine codes, and you can look that up. That may help. You might be able to call a shop and ask them. Sometimes if you get somebody with some patience, they might be able to look it up for you. But it's also the possibility that
shops.
Okay.
The shops I've talked to don't want to hear about your coach. I don't want to hear if they use their software.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes, like I say, if you get the right person, it can help because they're the same codes. But you may also be getting what are called garbage codes. That just means absolutely nothing.
Well, I was wondering if that was the case, but there's an actual effect on the truck because I like to drive this thing with my – I watch the load gauge, and if I can keep that under 21, I get pretty good mileage. But what will happen is I'll start seeing my horsepower and load go up to keep the same speed. And like I said, it feels like I'm pulling a full trailer instead of like the other day I was deadheading home, and all of a sudden I'm up to like 30, 35 load just to maintain 10th gear. And I'm like, this shouldn't be happening on a little baby grade with an empty trailer.
Right.
And sure enough, I had these bizarre codes.
Yeah, it does sound like something's going wrong. That still doesn't mean that the code is going to point us in the right direction. Even though there's a problem and a code showing up, sometimes the code can still be garbage. And then we've got to go back to, you know, just real troubleshooting.
Basically, it got garbled somewhere.
Right. Yeah, the code system is definitely not foolproof.
All righty. Can I ask you a quick one on the diet? Where did you
sure.
say you could come up with that sweetener that would say Yakin oil, Yakon oil?
Yakon syrup, Yacon. I've actually found it in a grocery store, just a regular grocery store here in Oregon that had a kind of like a health food section. They carry it. I found it in Whole Foods, and I buy it online. At a website called Thrive Market. And Thrive Market has the best prices on this stuff I have ever seen. Like all of the paleo products, coconut oils, I could just go on and on and on. You know, all the grain-free products. You can actually search by paleo, so it brings up all their paleo products. And just to give you an idea, when I can find a product in the grocery store that might be $10, on Thrive Market, it'll be $6 or $7. And as long
as
you order
$50
worth of... That's awesome,
because I've noticed some of the stuff that's really good for you costs more.
It does. It is expensive. There's no question. Now, there is like a $60 a year fee to belong to Thrive Market, but you can do a 30-day trial for nothing. And then as long as you order $50 or more each order, your shipping is free. So I place an order just about every 10 days or so on stuff that I use a lot, and the pricing is just amazing. I've saved my $60 fee many times over this year. I'm going to get to a break. When we come back, we'll get to more of your calls and questions. Stick around. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. We're down to the final segment, so I'm going to get right back to the phone calls. I'm going to try David in Iowa again. David, you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me better now?
I can. Go ahead.
What I'm looking at is an older generation cat, 1988, 3406E. I don't hear you talk about that much. Can you expand on, is that a better engine or a decent engine versus the 6 and Z?
Hey, you know, here's the thing for me. Let's talk about the advantages to an early 3406 mechanical engine. The biggest advantage is just pure simplicity. You know, if that engine has fuel and air and the timing is right, it will start and it will run. You know, we don't have electronic issues. We don't have sensor issues. So that's the biggest upside. But there are a couple of big downsides that come with a mechanical engine, too. Getting fuel economy out of them is much more difficult. Electronics, I believe, are the best thing that ever happened to diesel engines when it comes to performance and fuel mileage. The other thing is, on those engines, you are much more likely to create fuel dilution in the oil, and that's because you don't have the ECM managing the fuel flow. So the fuel flow is just based on your... Oh, go ahead.
This has an ECM on it, the first generation ECMs. I never heard you talk about that on this 3406.
I thought you said it was an 88.
It is an 88, and it has an ECM on the side of the motor, so maybe they changed the engine.
They did.
I'm looking at a $2,000 truck.
Yeah, the first electronic engine was a Detroit in like 87. Cat didn't even really come on board with their experimental electronic engines until almost like 93, 94. So if this has an ECM, somebody changed the engine. I don't believe there would have been a way to upgrade an older engine. I think they would have had to have changed. This must be an early 3406E. And you can check the engine serial number. Okay. All right. So just to give you a little bit of history, I almost bought one of the really early electronic cats around 94. And I took it out and drove it, and I wasn't very impressed. And it had some issues. Now, I have no idea if this one has any kind of upgrades. But here's the thing.
I don't either.
$2,000. Yeah, for $2,000, how can we go wrong? I mean, seriously. Buy it, see what happens. We're talking about such a small amount of money here that, you know, if you were interested in this truck, I'd be willing to give it a try.
Yes, and it can also, if it doesn't work out, it's a nice RV puller.
Yeah, exactly. It's really hard to go wrong at that price. you know, if it's got an ECM, then it's a an E model, and who knows, it may run great.
Okay, does Bruce play with the older ECMs? Do you know?
Yeah, yeah, they can figure it out. They've got a couple, well, several top-notch electrical engineers that, you know, Bruce put him in a very, very well-equipped lab. They've got their dyno. They do nothing but play around with ECMs all day long, and they are just doing some amazing things.
Thank you, Kevin. You're the best.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Let's head off to Illinois. JR, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. Fairtex Now.
Absolutely. What can I help you with today?
Yeah, I'm glad to see we got some Republican candidates that are on board with that, so hopefully that'll be coming in the near future. You never know.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, yes, it would. Something on the horizon, possibly. Hey, I came out of Arizona a couple weeks ago and listened to you on this ketosis diet, and so I went ahead and cleaned the truck out of everything. Threw a block of extra sharp cheddar cheese in here, some summer sausage, some half and half, some whole milk, and basically went out on the road and said, okay, let's jump into this both feet first. So got into it, got out on the road, started doing some of that tornado coffee, and I really like the fat bomb stuff. So the last time I was at Walmart, picked up some good coconut oil. I had, really surprised, they had a whole section of coconut oil at this Walmart I stopped at. And the fat content was 80% and 84%, so about an 84%. Couldn't find any red palm oil, but I did find some grape oil. And then I bought some cocoa powder. So I threw that in the cup, started mixing it all up, and boy, you talk about not being hungry for a day. That stuff will do it.
Isn't that amazing how satisfying it is?
Oh, yeah, and I'm a guy that likes to drink a lot of beer. I love pizza. I was really into all that stuff, but the last couple of years, I had to get on blood pressure medicine, and I put on about 12 pounds of weight, which I kind of fluctuate because talking about that BMI crap, when I was 16 years old, my dad, who was an old state cop, took me down and I started lifting weights, and I put on, in 1 year, about 15, 18 pounds of muscle. Went to the doctor, and he told me, well, your son's overweight, but we see his missing muscle. I had a body fat content of 1%. I about slapped that doctor. What, are you an idiot telling me I'm fat?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. But my question is, since I'm on to this ketosis, I want to get off blood pressure medicine by the end of the year. And what do you suggest for meters that I need to pick up? I'd love to have a ketosis meter to know when my body's going that route, obviously. But do I really need a blood glucose tester since I've never been a diabetic? I've never even got close. Or what do you think I should do now that I'm into it?
Yeah, if you do the, you know, the whole thing is you don't even really need the ketone meter. I mean, if you know that you are not consuming carbs and, you know, you keep your protein is the one thing that I think can trip a lot of people up without knowing it. But you kind of tell that you're in ketosis, you burn fat. Your energy level stays steady throughout the day. You don't have those weird food cravings. You know, if you can go most days, you know, without eating and not even the whole day, if you can go most of the morning and into the afternoon without eating and you don't get a lot of cravings, and when you eat fat, you feel satisfied, I can just about guarantee you're in ketosis. So you can measure it. It's nice. Same thing with blood glucose, though. Once you start eating this way, I can guarantee your blood glucose is going to be good. It's going to be very steady. So we don't really need to measure that either. The blood pressure, I think, especially since you had high blood pressure, it is definitely worth getting yourself a meter. I mean, they have the automatic digital. They're excellent. You slide them on, you hit the button. It does all the readings for you, and then it holds it in memory so you can see your history. And they're not very expensive. So I would get one of those, but I wouldn't worry about the blood glucose. Not for you, anyway.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking about, because I figure about a month into this ketosis diet, I'm going to start backing off my blood pressure medicine a little bit, like every other day, And yeah, I'm going to definitely pick up a cuff so I can track that and see where I'm at before I start doing that. And eventually, I'm going to try to cut it out by October, where I'm completely off the blood pressure medicine, and see what happens.
Excellent. And since you've already said you're doing it, stick with the cocoa in your bulletproof coffee, because the raw cocoa is actually very good for lowering your blood pressure.
Well, too, I've had a couple of skin cancers, some malignant melanomas over the years, so I got into a multivitamin a long time ago. I'm a Melaleuca guy, and it has a lot of antioxidant and those cancer fighters in it. So I've been popping a multivitamin day and night, and I think I'm going to stay with that, because that seems to help with that problem I've had in the past. But I picked up a Tyson all-in-one dinner that's got a pork roast in it and some potatoes and vegetables, and I'm basically going to toss the potatoes out for the animals to eat and stay with the that and the carrots. Would that be a good source of protein all the way around?
Yeah, there's two things you want to watch. Any processed food is going to have a bunch of stuff in it you don't want. Watch for sugars in there. There may be even, if there's any kind of sauce, a lot of times there's sugar. And many times there's too much protein and not enough fat in those. So those are the things you got to watch for. I'm going to grab one more quick call before we've got to wrap this up. John in North Dakota, it's your turn. Oh, you know what?
Hey,
I hate to do it. The clock beat me to it. I thought I could squeeze one in there, but I am all out of time. I've got to wrap this up. We'll try to get to it next time. The clock always rushes me out of here. Too many questions, never enough time. But I'll see you back here next show. Be safe. Be profitable. Be fit and healthy. And master the journey. Good night, everyone. I'm Kevin Crawford. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.